Hello, everyone. Welcome to Ruby Rider's Pegging Paradise podcast number 60 on August 26th, 2013. I am trying to catch up here after a whole week with no podcast and making you guys wait. So here I am again, changing the world one ass at a time. So first, I want to talk about Sex Nerd Sandra. Sex Nerd Sandra and I have crossed paths before at Body Storytelling and one of her live tapings. And of course, she's awesome. Anybody who listens to her knows that. Anybody who's met her knows that. She is right up there in the top five podcasts that I listen to. It's one of my favorites. It's always a pleasure to hear whatever she's decided to talk about that week or whoever she's talking with. So I was a pretty happy camper to get a message from Sandra asking if I wanted to come on her show and talk about pegging. And that is exactly what we did. On the 19th, I headed down to LA and Sandra did a Bend Over Boyfriend show that I got to be a part of. And I got to meet a lovely woman named Larkin, whose name I love, by the way. And she is totally going to be my go-to person the next time I go to the pleasure chests, because that is where she works. So Larkin and Sandra were going to be co-teaching a pegging class at the pleasure chest a day or two after we recorded that podcast. And actually, neither one of them had a ton of experience with pegging, even though they knew the basics. So they were kind of looking for a little guidance. And I had so much fun with them. Oh my gosh. First of all, Sandra gets serious when she does a podcast in terms of her equipment. Sandra has nice equipment. Yeah, I know what some of you are thinking. And that's true too, but I'm talking about her recording equipment. Ha ha. She has a cozy little studio upstairs at Comic Meltdown on Sunset. And we all sat around a table with these huge microphones and headphones. And there was a young lady sitting in the corner monitoring the recording levels, I'm assuming. It was all kinds of awesomeness. You know, I'm acquainted with huge microphones. I'm talking into one right now. Yeah, I have one. But I have not done an interview yet. And really, I must say that Sandra inspired me. I even have a couple of people lined up to interview, but I've just not gotten to it yet. So yeah, I'm totally going to do it now. And in addition, Sandra's podcasts are long. They're about an hour or more of awesomeness, which is really impressive. She seems to be like a pretty natural interviewer. She likes a really relaxed and casual approach. And in fact, when I first got there, she came downstairs to say hello and greet me. As soon as I started to tell her a specific piece of news that I had, she stopped me and said, "Save it for the podcast." Smart. So we had fun. And when I listened to it later, I was also really impressed with her editing. I aspire to that level of proficiency when my podcast is in the triple digits like Sandra's. It was way cool. And of course, I posted a link on my blog to the podcast so you can zip right over there and give it a listen. You can do it right now if you want, actually, if you want to do kind of like a time warp podcast within a podcast experiment. It might feel a bit like you're in the TARDIS for you Whovians out there. Okay, so when I listened to the podcast, I found two things I wanted to add, and I actually want to add them for Larkin. There are some really specific things about harnesses for women who have more fabulous going on with them than the rest of us. So when we talked about harnesses, I mentioned that there were two favorites of mine, and then I only actually got to talking about one of them because I got sidetracked with a question. I mentioned the spare parts Jacques and all the reasons why I love it, which are many. But the other of my favorites is a very well-fitting leather harness, and I recommend an Aslan harness. It's spelled A-S-L-A-N. Yes, just like the Aslan in Chronicles of Narnia. Okay, so let's leave the children's books behind and get back to business. Okay, Aslan leather harness, and specifically, I would recommend the Aslan Minx. Here's why. I have a friend whose body is actually pretty similar to Larkin's. She got the Jacques, and she really wasn't happy with it. I'm going to read you the review that she sent me, because I think it'll really help all the BBWs out there, all you lovely ladies with a lot of fabulous going on. So before I read it, know that the other main harness style, the Jaguar, is great for a body without any unusual requirements, and the Jag is a really nice harness. They have all kinds of different colors and styles of that basic model, the Jag. The difference between the Jaguar and the Minx is that the Minx has this lovely corset back. So it's the same beautiful leather, soft and everything, but it lacks the lovely corset back. So, okay, here's the review from my friend. I wasn't happy with the Jacques harness. For me, it was unwieldy, scratchy mess of Velcro and straps that never seemed to adjust to a comfortable fit. The thigh straps cut across my thighs because they didn't move the strap positions to a wider position when making the larger size. Plus, if my partner said, "Miss, can you fuck me with something bigger?" then I had to take the whole mess off and try and wriggle another dildo into the stretchy O-ring while my hands were covered with lube. Anyway, I know some people like it, but it just didn't work well for me. I may still try and work with it. It's just so expensive to try these things out and not have them work. Anyway, I was looking at my other options, and at one point I saw a photo of a gal on FetLife, and she was wearing one of my top contenders, the Aslan Minx. It looked fantastic on her, and you could tell how soft the leather was by the photo. The other night, I was watching an instructional video on Smitten Kitten of Sophia St. James pegging a guy, and that's what sold me on it. She was wearing the harness, which was designed for her. Her body, her shape, is very similar to mine, so I was sure this would work well for me. These videos, by the way, be warned that they're fucking hot, and they'll probably make you really horny. So, I decided to try one, and it came in the mail today. Well, I adjusted it for about 40 minutes, and it fits me really well. I have a few complaints, but nothing major. It's super comfy and easy to take on and off, and the dildo sits solidly over my vulva, pointing up. The corset piece in the back is important for a larger or curvier woman because it's not only stabilizing, but the adjustment allows the ass straps to be spread wider apart, if that makes sense, to go under and around the woman's ass cheeks, and the top of it can be smaller than the bottom part of it, or vice versa, so it hugs the body well. It's really well made, and it smells delicious. If you have one of the Aslan regular harnesses, you can get just the corset back part as an upgrade if it appeals to you. It really is sexy looking. Comes in loads of colors, black, white, red, pink, and light blue. Anyway, the other thing I love is that with the snap-in O-ring, you don't have to take the strap-on off to change out your toy, unless it has balls. Then you have to put it under the leather crotch piece. Strapping it in this way also retains some of the usable length of the toy. The harness says it'll fit from 30-inch to 60-inch hips. Mine measured at 47 inches, so I'm right in there. Oh, and it comes with this thing called a double-up cuff that allows you to strap a dildo or butt plug into it for your vagina or your ass, or you can remove it. It uses the two straps and turns them into something that holds a dildo or butt plug. It's awesome. Anyway, if you have ladies asking you what to get and they've got a big round ass and optionally some belly, this harness may be the answer. I will let you know how it fucks, because that's the moment of truth. Isn't that the truth? Okay, since then, my friend has absolutely confirmed that indeed this harness rocks for fucking a guy. She said, basically, it's much more secure, and it feels like it's a part of your body instead of sort of moving around a little bit the way the elastic allows the dildo to move with the spare parts. Personally, I find that movement to be really minimal and not really a bother, but I definitely know what she means when she says it feels like a part of your body with the leather harness. I love that feeling because it feels really responsive and it feels so attached. That's what it feels like. So, that's the other go-to harness, and specifically a good harness for women with a lot of fabulous. And here's one more thing that I have heard that's a good thing to try. My friend said that the harness fit nicely over her vulva, but you can also adjust the fit and kind of cheat it up a bit so that more of the toy is right there where you can use it and less surrounded by your fabulous. And so you can try that and see how you like it. All you lovely large women out there, give it a try and write in and let me tell me what you think. Now, as far as the videos that my friend mentioned, I can confirm those videos at the Smitten Kitten website are totally hot. You too can watch Sophia St. James fuck a lovely doe-eyed Quinn Valentine. I'm going to put the link on my blog, of course. You know, I have to tell you too, that video section that they have, I especially enjoyed the intro at the top of that page. And it says, introduction to the following Smitten Kitten tutorials. But the very first thing it says is, we are so fucking proud of these. I love that. Let me read you the rest of it. It's not very long. Free, accessible, honest, smart sexual education is a vital part of our mission and vision for a safer, more pleasure-filled world. Be sure to notice the sexy communication between the actors. Featured here are wonderful examples of explicit sex talk, good consent, and direction between lovers, things everyone can always do better. Also, notice the seamless use of sex toys and safer sex barriers. Once you're good and worked up, please go try some of these things at home. Enjoy! So, I've posted the link for you for those videos. And if you shop while you're there at the website, don't forget that you can use the coupon code RUBY13 for an amazing 20% off your entire order. You know, hey, use that code for like big ticket items like an Aroscillator or an Enjoy 11 and you will save a bundle. Okay, I'm also going to have a link for you to Aslan Leather for the leather harnesses for you to take a look at those. And then you can kind of get a vision more of what we're talking about with the corset back and things like that. Okay, here is another letter. Okay, this is purely for research purposes. Kind of true. But I wonder about this topic. It is something men tend to consider themselves when thinking about getting up to a pegging or asking for one from a newer or reluctant partner. On the flip side, how do ladies feel about men, not just their partners, but men in general, after their induction into the sisterhood of pegging? Does it not influence anything much, except maybe in a limited way, with how you view your partner? Like more closeness, or in negative cases, some loss of attraction? Or understanding men can take a receptive role, do you maybe start to take an more phallic-centric perspective in general? Like, I wonder if that dude would bend over? Someone has to ask the hard questions here. Gaining the ability to fuck should tend to have some interesting results, after all. Well, let me just answer that before I read the rest of this email. I can tell you how I feel about men in general after I started pegging. I feel like I want to fuck them and open them up to pleasures beyond their wildest dreams, but also open them up emotionally. And I know that doesn't happen every time, but that's the hook for me. With my partner, when I have one, there is absolutely more closeness, and I've actually never felt anything like a loss of attraction for any reason. And it's funny because as I sit here, I'm kind of actually puzzling at that question. But I think that's because I'm so far away from that reaction because pegging is my absolute passion. I know there are women who have had a bizarre loss of respect or attraction after pegging their guy. And, you know, it's probably due to a bunch of different things. Maybe because they buy into the whole bullshit gender stereotypes of proscribed behavior. Maybe they can't handle seeing him vulnerable. Maybe they mistakenly conflate that with weakness. Or maybe they just can't get past the he's gay thing. And they just want, like, the strong macho guy in the bedroom, and that's it. Which is so very limiting, in my opinion. I mean, getting down to the deeper layers is what it's all about, and for me anyway. And those of us who are, what's that term, cisgendered, which means that an individual's self-perception of their gender matches the sex they were assigned at birth. So those of us who identify that way, we are kind of majoring in the gender we were born as and minoring in the opposite gender. So as a woman, I am majoring in feminine and I am minoring in masculine. I think that finding those opposite parts, the minoring ones, it's just absolutely fascinating and it's really fun to explore. I mean, when I walk around in life, I don't really wonder if a guy would bend over. I more often am just kind of objectifying his ass and picturing him already bent over, actually, already taking it. Okay, so I hope that gives you a little bit of clarity, at least, for, you know, thoughts running around in my mind. So, and to finish up your message here, you wrote, "Thanks for your responses. I really find this subject interesting and, yeah, hot. If we didn't live in such a prudish culture, I think the pegging phenomena would make for a lot of interesting studies and discussions." Ooh, I so agree. And in the world I walk around in with my sex geek and sex educator friends, we do have interesting conversations like that, believe me. So, speaking of that world, CatalystCon West is coming up. I've talked about it before. It's at the end of September. It's in the Woodland Hills area of Los Angeles. Consider attending. It is amazing. You don't have to be an educator or a sex geek or anything more than exactly what you are to enjoy CatalystCon. I mean, it helps if you totally love sex, but I think if you're here listening to my podcast, it's safe to say that you're probably in that category. You know, what you can do when if you go to this is you can immerse yourself in an entire weekend of amazing discussions about sex. You've heard me mention that I'm going to be on the Ask panel, but let me read you a sampling of some of the other sessions, and there's a whole bunch of them, so this is just a very small sampling. "Does this panel make me look fat? Body image and sexuality. The mindset of a mistress. Moving from comprehensive to inclusive sex education. Sexual taboos in Christian and conservative relationships." And the last one I'm going to read you is "Feminist Porn 101. What is it? What? Oh, all right, let me start over. "Feminist Porn 101. What it is, what it isn't, and why it matters." So I'm going to post all those links for you because they're actually, I've got links that go straight to that session description and you can read more about what the session includes. Reading those descriptions is fun. And again, that is such a small sampling from the sessions, people. Check it out and join the fun. I'm posting the link, and remember, if you decide to go to CatalystCon West, coupon code RUBY gets you $10 off your registration. So come and join the fun, and find me for your hug. Do it. I keep offering. Do it. If you go to this thing, you're going to be talking about it all year until it comes back again. And you know what? You might even decide that you love it so much that you're going to do CatalystCon East and make it twice yearly event because every 6 months it changes coasts. I cannot recommend it highly enough. Last year, as you may recall from my podcast, I came back overflowing with excitement and full of all kinds of information, especially about toxic toys. Man, I just lectured you guys up one side and down the other about toxic toys. And this year, Metis Black of Tantus is going to teach an advanced toxic toys class. It's called Beyond Phthalates, and I am so there. Okay, let's move on. There's a couple of comments about pegging that I wanted you to hear that I found in a thread asking, it was a post actually, asking how pegging has affected your relationship. And I thought you guys would enjoy hearing this. "The only thing it has done is bring me and my husband much closer together. We have been together for 10 years, and we just tried it a few weeks ago. He was worried I would think something was wrong with him, or it would turn me off, as we had never done any plain anal play with him. But the opposite has happened. We are having sex almost every day, and I have never felt closer to him. Before, we would have sex maybe once a week, sometimes twice, and other times we have gone a month without, but now I can't keep my hands off of him and my mind out of the gutter. I had never even thought about pegging or anal play until he brought it up, and I said I would try it. Best decision ever for our relationship. Of course, now he is much more open with me and tells me all of his fantasies, which I have been trying my hardest to fulfill. Here's another one. And this is from the same post. I totally feel the same way. We have been together for 9.5 years, and he has told me about it, and I was kind of reluctant to do it, but last night I did, and I have done nothing today but think about doing it again to him. I thought it was kind of gross at first, but now it makes me so horny and wet, I can't wait for him to come home. It has totally brought us a lot closer together. I've never felt as close to him as I do now. I love these quotes from women talking about how pegging has affected their relationship. I just love them. Okay, here's another letter. Hey, I've been a real huge fan of your posts, and your site was one of the first ones I ever delved upon during my foray into pegging. I was hoping you could give me some advice with my current situation. My girlfriend and I have been together for 6 months, and I've never felt more sexually attracted to someone, especially in complexity. We have a Jacques harness, a curved, somewhat rigid dildo, 6 inches, to go with it, and a somewhat small plug. I took your advice about stretching, and my girlfriend fingered me to my delight, except I think I felt a scratch or some kind of pain that now makes it a little hard at first to stretch. She has long nails. Anyway, I was wondering, I'm 6 foot and she is 5'8". What are some good positions we could try? Should I invest in larger plugs? I really love pleasing her and am slowly getting her used to the idea of being my key holder. We've played with our CB6000 for a bit, and I'm hoping I could get her to really look forward to me being in it more often, at her whim. I know you're super busy with your book, but I'd love some advice as you seem to have a fun and healthy sex life. Haha, thank you. A fun and healthy sex life. Well, right now it's kind of on hold, but thanks. I'm working on that part. Okay, first, let me address the fingernails. Your girlfriend needs to wear gloves, and she needs to put cotton balls inside the tips of the fingers of the glove so that her nails don't hurt you. That, my friend, is a total requirement. It is mandatory, not just if she feels like it or if she remembers or if she wants to. You don't want to ever be putting sharp things up your butt, basically. It's not a good idea. Fingernails are sharp. She could scratch or tear the tissue in your rectum and you could get a nasty infection, so this is nothing to play around with. If her fingers go in your butt, they need to have gloves on and ideally cotton balls in the fingers. That's what you do when you have long nails, is you put cotton balls in the fingers and then it makes it workable. Now, she can choose not to put her fingers in there and use toys instead, and that's a fine choice that works too. So if she decides to go that route, then definitely invest in some larger anal toys if she decides not to use her fingers. And take your time. There's no sense rushing through foreplay. Positions. Depending on the height of your bed, she can stand at the foot or the side of the bed and have you on the edge of it with your legs over her shoulders. That's a possibility. And sometimes you can play with the height of the bed requirements by, if it's a higher bed, she can put high heels on or be barefoot or stand on a pillow or something. So that's a way to adjust the height depending on how high, how her legs are in comparison to where the bed is. She can also do the whole cowboy deal and she can lay flat on her back and you can ride her. That always works. And then there's a position I'm going to try to explain, but I'm also going to post a picture of it. In fact, if I can find it, I'm going to post a totally hot video of it. What happens that you're kind of laying on your side and you have your legs bent and separated. The top leg is forward a little bit and the bottom one is back and straight. So you're kind of on your side but a little forward. One of her knees goes in between your legs and the other goes behind your bottom leg. Now I know this can be hard to visualize, So I'll try and find that video, or at least a photo. But that position should probably work really well. Another one is you lying face down with your legs together, and she lies on top of you with her legs outside of yours. That is a really luscious position for like a long, slow, tender fuck with lots of skin contact and good prostate stimulation. So try those. And remember, pillows are your friends, whether you're using them or she is. Liberator cushions are a luxurious option, of course. That is on my Christmas list, so, you know, check out those things if you have the opportunity. Now, as far as the CB6000, I had to look, you know, I remembered reading a letter a long time ago about somebody calling in, asking about combining pegging with chastity. Turns out it was my fifth podcast, and someone wrote in and they wanted this advice. So I did the best I could with it, but you know, that really wasn't something I was really familiar with. So I sort of said, hey, anybody know anything? And the post on my blog that has the podcast on it was graced with an amazing comment from a reader. The reader is called Tall, Light, Handsome. And it goes into a lot of detail about all the reasons why men enjoy chastity play with pegging. So, you know, you might want to consider having her read that. Or you can even read it to her. If she understands the reason why you love it, then she might be more inspired to be your key holder, but, you know, she might be inspired to do it while she's fucking you, because I do believe Tall, Light, and Handsome goes through all the reasons why it's way cool to get pegged while wearing a chastity device. So, yeah, check that out. So, I have another announcement to make, and this one I am so excited about. I can hardly stand it. You will already know about this if you went and listened to the podcast at Sex Nurse Sandra's site, because I announced it at the end of the podcast. And this is information I've been sitting on for a while, a few weeks. What's happening is that I recently got an email from Violet Blue letting me know that my submission story that I sent to be a hopeful part of Women's Best Erotica of 2014 was accepted. I, my friends, my listeners, my readers, my fans, I am going to be a published writer. And I read the email, I read it again, and I read it again. And then I ran out into the living room and announced to all the lovely people that I live with what was going on, and they all applauded me, and I said, excuse me, I'm going to go outside and make some noise. And I went out onto my front deck of this 12-acre horse ranch with my amazing views, and I whooped and hollered and danced, and they all laughed at me, and my dog got a little scared. Yeah, to say I was excited is really quite a vast understatement. I have been submitting stories to this anthology that Violet Blue edits for about 4 years now. And I remember reading somewhere a long time ago about the best way to be a writer, if you're writing pieces and sending them off to be submitted or sending book proposals or what have you, is to send them off and forget about them. Just send it off and forget about them and just keep writing. And you know, this time, that's actually exactly what I did. I sent off two things at once. The first one I got, it was for a different collection, and I got a note back saying that one wasn't accepted. And then I didn't hear from Violet for quite some time. And it kind of was in the back of my awareness. I thought, wow, I usually hear back sooner, and who knows, maybe I made it to sort of the finalists. But I still, you know, wasn't really very hopeful, because, you know, after 4 years. And then I got the email. So she said when she heard back from me that she would send the contract. And the contract actually came in the mail today. And that was a whole new little excitement dealy, because what happened with that is, you know, I pick up this envelope out of my mailbox and it's hand addressed, and I turn it over and there's a freaking return address label from Violet Blue. I believe what the young people call it these days is squee. I was definitely squee material in that moment. I was squealing. I was so excited. So there you have it. I finally made it to Women's Best Erotica 2014, which will be released in November of this year. So it is coming right up, everybody. I hope you enjoy the story. I hope you buy a copy. And yeah, woohoo! Okay, kind of a shorter podcast, but I'm going to leave it here. All you lovely people out there, because I need to pack for Denver. I am leaving tomorrow morning. On my way to Denver, and I'm going to be teaching at the Rack Room. That will be September 3rd, Tuesday. I'm teaching two classes. The first one starts at 6:30, and the second one starts at 8:15. They're both an hour and a half, and it's kind of like beginning and advanced, the pleasures of pegging. So one class, if you just choose one, is going to be 15, but you can get into both of them for $20. So that's a major deal. So come and see me there. Take the class and get a hug. That's my refrain for going out in public. All the places I go, like body storytelling and teaching and stuff like that, find me and get a hug. We all need more hugs. That's what I think. You can follow me on Twitter at @Ruby_writer. I have a Facebook page and a profile. You can subscribe to my blog if you like. My podcast is on iTunes and also can be listened to directly from my blog at peggingparadise.com. Please go to iTunes and rate my podcast and write me some cool reviews. I would be most appreciative. And send all your questions and your stories and your comments to ruby@peggingparadise.com. Or you can click the right Ruby links at the upper right of every page on my blog. Thanks for downloading and listening. You guys all rock. Happy pegging.